Father, we thank you for being true to your word and moving us from glory to glory. God, we've asked for glory and you've responded. Let us so set our hearts in tune with you that this becomes a habitation for your glory and not just a visitation. That you would be so welcome and feel so free to set up your government, your throne, and rule us. We ask for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to release to you what I feel the Lord has given me. And then I want us to move into a time of ministry. Guys, you can sit down and give your backs a break if you want to, but it won't be long. I'm going to want you back up here. I want us to move into a time of ministry. I want to commend all of you for coming in with such an attitude of worship, ready to be wrecked by the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. I can sense that you came in this place with hunger. And I also know that God never disappoints. Amen? Amen. I just want to share a few things with you tonight. I believe with all of my heart that everything that I've been able to do in ministry has been a direct result of the fact that I set myself at an early age to pursue his presence. I don't say that I've always done that right. And I don't say that there have not been times where I have waned on my pursuit. But what has marked my ministry and what has marked my life and the way that I try to lead is that above all else, we would experience the presence of God. That's why I worship the way that I do. That's why I lead the way that I do and I preach the way that I do, is because I'm careful. Try to be careful to never lose his presence. I found out a long time ago that I can't sing good enough, I can't play good enough, I can't preach good enough, I can't do any of that without his presence. And so the heartbeat, the cry of my heart has been that I would live a life pursuing his presence. And I feel like God is reiterating that to me once again. So much so that I've been convicted of times where I've not pursued him like I should. And I begin to think of this story in the Old Testament, the story of Saul becoming king. And I just begin to read that and begin to think about that in parallel with David becoming king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the very reason that Israel wanted a king was because Samuel failed to raise up his sons as righteous leaders. It was almost a parallel of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, who were evil, that Samuel and his two sons, Joel and Abihai, that they were, they saw their father, but they didn't walk in the ways of their. And so because Samuel did not raise up sons the way that he should have, Israel began to cry out for a king. They said, "We want a king." The interesting thing about the people of God is that they were never to be ruled by a political system. They were always supposed to be ruled by a voice. That's why they had prophets, and that's why they had judges that would speak into their life, and there was no political system intact. because they were never supposed to be ruled by a political system. They were to be ruled by a prophetic voice. And so because Samuel didn't raise up the next generation of a prophetic voice, what they did is they took a substitute. They took a political system, because it's what they saw other nations doing, and they said, we want to have a king like the other nations. It's very interesting to me that God would choose Saul. Saul came from one of the smallest tribes, the tribe of Benjamin, but he was head and shoulders above every other person in the tribe of Benjamin. It says that there was no one any more handsome than Saul, and that he was head and shoulders above the people. But I begin to read this, and I begin to think about the fact that from the outset, even though God picked him, I don't believe that Saul's heart was in the right place. I really believe that Saul was so consumed with the opinion of man that he never got on track with what Samuel had intended for him to do. As I began to read this, something stuck out to me. It was Saul who told Samuel, I come from the smallest tribe of the children of Israel, and yet you would choose me. It parallels when the children of Israel went to spy Jericho. They went to spy Canaan. You remember that? The 12 spies, they went, and they came back, and they said, we were as grasshoppers in our own sight, not in their sight. But in our own sight, we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. In other words, what I think about myself is not in line with what God says about me. The problem is that we don't live with what God says about us. We live with what we think about ourselves. And what the dominant voice is in our life is the opinion of man telling us we are who we are. So Saul immediately is consumed with the idea that, you know what, I come from the smallest tribe that there is, but you would choose me? And Samuel goes ahead and anoints him as king. And the issue was this, that Saul was picked by God, but he could never pick God over the people. I want to show you this. He could never pick God over the people. You remember the story where Samuel came and said, you have to go and destroy the Amalekites, and you have to kill every person. Don't leave anybody alive. Kill the sheep, kill the goats, kill the women, kill the children, kill everybody, and don't leave anybody alive. Saul goes as a picked servant of God, the king of Israel, into battle. He does everything that he's supposed to do except for save the trophy of the king, and his men save the precious goats and the precious sheep that would give them a good plunder when they return back to camp. The word of the Lord comes to Samuel. Samuel goes and attempts to confront Saul with what's going on, and Saul says, yes, I did everything that I could do, almost as if he were cocky. He said, hello, man of God, come in. Go back and read it in 1 Samuel 15. That's where I'm at now. 1 Samuel 15. And he says, come in. He said, I did everything that you asked me to do. He said, then why do I hear the bleating of sheep and of goats? Now watch this. The thing that you admire the most, you will blame for the situation that you're in. I want you to catch that. The thing that you admire the most, you will blame for the situation that you're in. He said, my men, the people, took sheep and goats. And that's why you hear it. He blamed the people whose opinion he was so worried about for the situation that he was in. I could understand that if you had not been chosen by God. I could understand that if you had not been picked to be king over all Israel. But he says, my men brought back sheep and goats. And then Samuel says, why then did you save King Agag? He said, I brought him back so that he could be my trophy. And Samuel begins to tell him, he said, you've sinned before God. And I want you to catch this. You have sinned before God and before the people. The reason
that Saul did what he did is because he stopped pursuing the favor of God because he had found favor in man, and man is what took his affection. He stopped pursuing the favor of God because he liked the applause of man better than being picked by God. Can I tell you that the reason that the church in America is where it is because just like Samuel, it stopped raising up sons. And it created this idea within the church, and you better listen to what I'm telling you. It created this idea within the church that the approval and acceptance of man is greater than the approval and acceptance of God. We would never say that consciously, but the way that we live it practically is what we have said. We have said that man's opinion is so far above the opinion of God in my life and his approval on my life that I'm willing to do anything to pursue approval from man. And so he saves all of the sheep and he saves all of the goats, and he says, I did what I was supposed to do except for this. Do you know that marriages have been ruined because people did what they were supposed to do except they didn't love each other enough? Relationships have been ruined because people did what they were supposed to do except they didn't follow God with their whole heart. Denominations have been split because people did what they were supposed to do except they pursued man more than they pursued God. And he goes to Saul and he says, this is what you've done. And he said, no, I did everything I was supposed to do. And Samuel says this. He says, obedience is greater than sacrifice. But Samuel, I'll sacrifice every one of these sheep and every one of these goats. We're going to send them as an offering to the Lord. Why would God want your tainted sacrifice after you tried to do it for the opinion of man first? He said, we're going to offer them to God. He said, you don't get it. He wants you to be obedient above being sacrificial. This is what blows my mind. Saul says, I've sinned. I acknowledge that I've sinned. Samuel, I have messed up. I've blown it. And in chapter 30, he seals the deal of his fate with this right here. He says, I know I've sinned, but go out with me before the people so that they'll think I'm okay. Go out with me before the people. Let me put on the look that I've got it together. Let me put on the kingly coat and the crown one more time. And before the elders of Israel, you go out and give your approval of me before the people. I know that I've picked their opinion over God. I know that I have picked their opinion over the one who put me in my position. But go out with me before the people. Go out with me and let them see me worship God with you one more time. And then there's David. And then there's David. David had it all together, right? Except for the fact that he was a murderer and he was an adulterer. And he's confronted, just like Saul was. Watch this. He's confronted. The man of God, Nathan, comes to him and says, you have sinned. He said there were two men, one who had all of the sheep that he needed and one who had only one sheep. And there was a party and guests that were coming. And the one who had all of the sheep that he needed took the man who had one sheep and he killed it for a sacrifice and he killed it for this party. And David said, go find me the man. He said, I'm going to put him to death. He doesn't deserve to have what he has. And Nathan said, you're that man because you've taken Uriah's wife. You've sent him to the front line of battle. And David could have responded like Saul. He could have said, I've sinned.
go out with me before the people, Jesus. Do you know what David said? He said, renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 51 was written as a psalm of repentance after hearing the word of the Lord from the prophet Nathan. And instead of being concerned about what some jackleg tribe would think, being concerned about what some tribe and some people would think, he said, listen, take the throne, take everything that I have, take my wives, take my sheep, take everything that I have, but don't you dare take your presence from me. Can I tell you what will mark a revival in this city is when the opinion of man is so pushed to the bottom and we say the only thing that we can have is your presence, God. The only thing that we want is another move of your Holy Spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit from us. Renew in us a right spirit. Create in us a clean heart, oh God. Take not your Holy Spirit from us and don't cast us away from your presence. The difference between Saul and David. Over disobedience, Saul lost the kingdom. And can you wrap your mind around that? How many more opportunities, Josh, would Saul have had to go to war and kill people? Numerous. He's the king of the most powerful army walking the earth because they have the Ark of the Covenant with them. How many more opportunities? God could have said, you'll get them next time. And extended more grace. But Saul's response to God and to failure marked him for the rest of his life. And he was literally turned over to a reprobate mind. Hello, New Testament. Because he failed to do those things that he was told to do. David, by law, should have been killed, much less the kingdom taken from him. But when I read about David, it said that he's a man after God's own heart. Why? Because his response to God and to failure was that I don't care what the people say. I gotta have his presence. We live in a church age right now with people who are consumed with the opinion of man above God's presence. You've heard me say it. It's my soapbox. The reason that we have tolerance is because the church failed. The reason that abortion is running rampant in America is because the church failed. It's not because we live in such a bad world. God is looking for righteous people, and righteous people don't care about man's opinion. They care about God's presence. And so we have this decision to make every day when we get up. Is it your presence I'm after? Or is it their approval I'm after? Is it your presence that I want today? Or do I want somebody to give me a that a boy, that a girl? Way to go. Is that what I'm working toward? What do I put most of my time into? What do I put most of my eggs into? What basket do they go into? Is it pursuing your presence or pursuing the approval of man? Because I can see the approval of man and it feels good. Feels good, right? It's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that could be revealed in us. Oh, do you catch that? The reason that churches are dead across America,
The reason that we go in cycles time after time and we're hot one time and we're cold the next time and we're up one week and we're down the next week is because we have stopped living for his presence and we're living for something else. And the time that we want his presence is when we need him. And God is trying to tell us that what you experience when you need me as a result of my grace, you can live in on a daily basis as a result of my glory. It's about our response. It's about our response to failure. How do we respond to failure? How did Saul respond to failure? Who said he was a failure? Not the people, right? He was a hero to the people. One of the greatest things that Henry Boyens ever spoke to us was the fact that we had to change what was normal. And that the life that we live on a daily basis in this culture, that we can accept that as normal, or we can reject that because it's of the world system and realize that what this book says is really what normal is supposed to look like. Going in circles. I'm tired of being on cycles. Maybe you don't do that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of experiencing his glory like we have the last few weeks. And then on the way down, we forget what it's like and we go back and say, man, I wish we could be there again. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the old man creeping in. I'm tired. I'm tired of the old man knocking on my door every day. What do you have to do? You got to kill the old man. You got to kill the old man. See, what Saul didn't have was the preparation that David had. David was anointed king and had to go back out and tend sheep. Saul was chasing donkeys and appointed king and barely even had to go back and let his family know. But David was appointed king and had to go back and tend sheep. And the reason that David was appointed king was because before there was ever a Goliath, before there was ever David being called the light of Israel, before there was ever the city of David, there was a young boy on the backside of a desert with a harp saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There was a young man saying, I was young, I'm going to be old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Do you catch what I'm saying? There was a difference in David and Saul in that Saul measured his success by the opinion of man. And David said, if I don't have your presence, I'm nothing. I'm going, but I want you to read Psalm 51 sometime. Because the other thing that marked David is that David was able to look into the past and say, I've seen this somewhere before. And I'm not going to respond the way that those before me did. Because Saul began to brag that he wanted to sacrifice, right? We're going to sacrifice all these sheep and all these goats. And Samuel said, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And so in Psalm 51, David is able to look back. And he says, if it were sacrifice that you wanted, I would give it. If it were a burnt offering, I would give it. But what you desire, O God, is a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken and a contrite spirit. Nobody has ever challenged the fact that you acknowledge whether or not you're living the way you ought to be. What we challenge is that you respond correctly to the way that you're living. And Saul missed it. Take me out so that the people will see me and the elders of Israel will see me. I can't let anybody know that I'm going through hell right now. What would they think? I can't let anybody know that my childhood was so jacked up that it affects me every day. What would they think? The problem is that when you're not willing to identify with that, then you're not willing to allow God to heal you from that. Because the moment that you say, yes, that is who I was, you give God permission to make all things new. The problem is that oftentimes we won't say that's who I was. We say that's who I am. But I can't be who I was if I'm a new creature. And all the old things are passed away and everything's become new. And so David was able to say, this is not me. I got caught up with Bathsheba. She's beautiful. I got caught up. I did. I failed. But he was able to keep the kingdom because his pursuit was not the opinion of man, but the approval of God. He said, I want your presence. I want to run with people who want his presence. I don't want to run with perfect people because I'm not perfect. And I don't want you to ever hear that what PR is saying is that you've got to be perfect. Perfection is not what I'm looking for, but pursuit is what I'm after. I want somebody who will pursue like I will. That's who I want to run with. I want somebody who will give up some stuff to go after him. Are you with me? And that's what David was willing to do. David said, take the kingdom. Take everything, but don't take your presence. Don't take your presence. Your presence is more dear to me than anything else. Is anybody in here ready to make a declaration to God that your presence is better than any? It's better than life. It's better than my next breath. It's better than any circumstance I could get in. It's better than any encounter that I could ever have. Your presence, Jesus, what you do to me, what you do to me when you do what you do to me. I'm telling you, his presence is good. I get times where I'm just overwhelmed and I don't even know what to say and I don't know what to do. And I get these chills, this thing that climbs up the backside of my neck and I don't even know how to respond. Jesus, don't ever take your presence away from me. Don't ever take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't ever let me walk outside of the union that I have made with the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. That's what I want. You can take my name. You can take everything I have and ever hope to have. But don't you take his presence from me. Don't you take his presence from me. I gotta have it. It's what keeps me going. It's what allows me to get up the next day, even when all hell is breaking loose. Can anybody identify with me tonight that in the midst of hell, if I can put my foot on the ground and know that he'll never leave me or forsake me, I know I can make it through the day. Can anybody identify with me tonight that in the midst of the worst trial that I've ever been in, if I can put my foot on the ground and say, I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I've committed to him against that day. Is anybody understand what I'm saying? That the presence of God is better than life. Oh, come on, you ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. I can face tomorrow because he lives. I know who holds tomorrow because he lives. I know that in the midst of the fight that nothing can come to me, that no weapon shall be able to come against me. Even if I watch it being formed, no weapon shall be able to prosper. And that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. I want his presence. I want his presence. I don't need anything else, but you better let me have his presence. And I can have his presence dictated upon my pursuit. I don't care what I have to face if I can have his presence. Whew. I don't care. I don't care what I have to face. As long as I have his presence. And I declare that you will have this birth in you, that you'll pursue his presence more than you pursue his provision. Jesus. I like how you're shouting now. Yeah, I'd rather have his presence than I would his provision. Because I found out that in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And that everything I need is wrapped up in one experience in his presence. So I'm not asking for provision. I'm asking for presence. I don't even have to ask for healing. I just need his presence. Because sickness can't even stand in the same zip code of his presence. I don't need anything else but his presence. Everything that I need is locked up in his presence. I need his presence. I want to pursue his presence. Woo! Jesus. Why is his presence so important? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead has the ability to quicken this mortal body. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? And what I thought was dead in my life has to come alive because the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is in me. When I have his presence, I have the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. I need his presence. I need his presence. I need his presence. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge. Whoo! I don't need what corporate America says I need. I need his presence. I don't need Wall Street to come back. I don't need the housing market to come back. I need his presence. Because I've never, never, never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You can say what you want to say, and you can say I'm down now, but I'm telling you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I want his presence. I want his presence. Hey, the psalmist said, lead me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Is anybody thankful that there's a rock that's higher than we are? I feel something stirring on the inside of me. Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whew. Lead me to a rock that's higher than I, Jesus. Come on, I want everybody in this house to stand up. Everybody in here. Father, we just make declaration that we want your presence above everything else. We want your presence, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Lift your hands and open your mouth and just begin to tell him, we want your presence, Jesus. I need your presence. Above everything, I need your presence. Oh, I need your presence, Jesus. I count everything else as loss just for the knowledge of having you. Having your presence. Come on, open your mouth right now. Make declaration. We want your presence, Jesus. We want your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sheboko raba kande debeke aso tadodododoboko rebeya. Mandrebeke tadabako so raba tedebeke andodododoboko. Jesus, we want your presence. Shadadabako rebe. Jesus. Jesus, 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 he's a way maker, he's a peace speaker, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Let me just get in his presence. Oh, let me get in his presence. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let me get in his presence. He's the pearl of great price. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He's a wheel within the middle of a wheel. I just need to be in his presence. Everything that I need is locked up in an encounter that I can have with his face. Just let me have your presence. Let me be like star-crossed lovers gazing into the face of one another. I want to see you, Jesus. I want to see you. I want your presence. I want your presence. Everything that I need is in your presence. I want to pursue your presence. Jesus. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here that get excited about his presence. I wish I had somebody who cared about having the presence of the eternal living God in their life. We want your presence. We want your presence, Jesus. We want your presence, Lord. We want your presence. We want your presence. We want your presence. I want to be marked by your presence every day of my life. I want to be marked by your presence every day of my life. I want your presence. I want your presence, Jesus. I want your presence. You're my heart's desire. You're my heart's desire. It's not a chore to get into your presence. It's not a chore to get into your presence. You're my desire, Jesus. You've won my affection. You have won my affection. Jesus. And I declare that what was the ceiling of your presence now becomes the floor. That what was the ceiling of your presence now becomes the floor. And I'm standing on what was a limitation at one time, but now I'm able to reach into higher heights. I declare it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do. I want everybody to get with somebody, and I prefer you to get with someone who's not in your immediate family. I want you to get with somebody right now, and I want you to begin to pray and to seek God's face for each other, that you all would pursue presence. Come on, go, move around, find somebody. Find somebody not in your immediate family and go after them. Come on, I want you to open your mouth and begin to pray for both of you. Come on, right now in Jesus' name, that there would be increased encounters in Jesus' name. God, that there would be visions and dreams. Come on, pray one for another. Open your mouth. Don't just stand there. Open your mouth. Come on, make declaration in Jesus' name. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Come on, I declare you're my rock, you're my refuge. In you will I trust. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Come on, just make declaration right now. Make declaration in Jesus' name. God, I pray you break chains right now. God, I pray that you send healing right now. God, I pray that you restore relationships right now in Jesus' name. Come on, we want your presence. We want your presence. We want your presence. We want the byproducts of your presence. Come on. Yay! We want you, Jesus. Come on, don't stop. I want you to go after it just like it was your immediate family. Go after it just like it was your immediate family. Come on. Go after it. We declare healthy relationships. We declare stable finances. We declare favor when it looks like there's not favor. We declare it in Jesus' name, the head and not the tail, because we pursue. Above and not beneath, because we pursue. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field, because we pursue. Because we pursue your presence. Hey! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, 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 your presence, Jesus, your presence, Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. He's a chain breaker. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Generational curses cannot stand in the midst of a new creature. I declare generational curses cannot stand in the midst of a new creature. They cannot stand in the midst of a new creature. Hey, it's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. Restoration is coming. Restoration is coming. As a result of his presence, I declare restoration is coming. As a result of his presence, I declare that what the devil meant for evil shall be turned around for your good. As a result of his presence, what the cankerworm has stolen shall be returned to you sevenfold in Jesus' name. Hey, hey. So, I declare that those around this nation that will hear this podcast, that because you pursue his presence, that sickness is broken off of your life, that disease is broken off of your life, that cancer has to bow its knee in Jesus' name. To those that are listening, that cancer would bow its knee in Jesus' name, that sickness and disease will have to go as a result of his presence in Jesus' name.